So quiet this morning. It is a wonderful morning. On these mornings or weekends like this, where there's a storm before Sunday, we're always wondering what, you know, service is going to be like and how many people are going to be out here. And I remember one year, years ago, it was in the spring. We had a big snow. I don't know. I know it was over a foot. And I thought, you know, there's going to be a few people there. And it was a large group was here that morning. And I think we even had visitors. So you never know. And it really doesn't matter how many is here. We know that the Lord loves us all, whether there's one or 100 of us here. We're all important to Him. And it's just a blessing that we could be here this morning, that we could be here together worshiping our God. The word this morning is intentional. Intentional, that has been our word actually the last couple of weeks. Last week I presented a lesson on being intentional and how that relates to growth. Growth in our life. If we want to grow in our character, if we want to grow in our relationships, I think we can make the argument that if we want to grow in any area of life, we must be intentional. That's a good word. It's one that I've been working on. I want to be more intentional. When it comes to my own growth, I have to be intentional. Personally, whether it's the church's growth, we have to be intentional. It doesn't just happen. It's not something that is accidental. Since the His Shoes, Her Shoes is coming up, I thought, you know what? What about marriages? Is there the need for us to be intentional in our marriages to have great marriages? Or do we just, some of us happen to get really lucky and some of us don't? You know, you just get married and you're married for 60-something years and you serve the Lord and you love one another and you've influenced all sorts of people and we admire you for it. But, man, the Lord just blessed you. You know, you got lucky, you know. You dealt a good hand. And we know that some of us do have, from our background, we do have different opportunities than others, different abilities than others. But we know that in any great relationship, we must be intentional. And so I want to encourage you to be intentional by being here next week. Whether you're married or not, I know Wayne and Tammy Roberts will be here. You'll want to be here. Wayne, they are traveling all over the United States. They're Wayne was the preacher down in Parker for years. After he got out of school, I graduated with Wayne. He'd been there for 15 years or so. But then they decided to go in a different direction. Now they're working with the church in Northern California, kind of as an associate family minister. But the rest of the time he spends traveling, him and Tammy, around the United States, and they do the His Shoes, Her Shoes seminar. And so they're coming here this next weekend. Friday night it begins 7 to 9, and if you have children, don't worry. The older folks are being intentional, and they're going to be here and they're going to babysit the kids for you. So I encourage you to be here to encourage one another. Let's be intentional in our marriages. I want you to turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. Now Peter writes, and he is in chapter 3 discussing godly living. He's addressing the wives, and he's also addressing the husbands. And what I want to do is focus on the husbands this morning. I'm not just picking on the men. I'm not picking on anybody. But after next week, the following Sunday, I will address the ladies and how we can be intentional in our marriages. Listen to what Peter says as he writes 2,000 years ago. He writes 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. You husbands likewise Live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir, just that is an equal heir, of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered or the ideas they are cut in two. That's a great verse. I've always loved that passage of Scripture. But what I want to do this morning is I want us to look at our responsibility from three lenses this morning. Number one, from the lens of husbands and wives, and I will again focus more on the husbands than I do the wives this morning. Number two, God's lens. And number three, Jesus' lens. What do they say about our responsibility in our relationship, in our marriage? You'll notice Peter says, again, husband, live with your wives in an understanding way as with a weaker vessel. That word vessel there will bring to our mind a pottery and how it is fragile and how we are to take care of our wives. I think it's important to note that this is not a reference, ladies, to you being inferior to men. Now, we got to look back at the first century and the times. It was different than our culture. It was different in our time. But the fact remains that our makeup is different. And I think that's what he's touching on here. You are made different than we are made. That's all this is. It's not that you are less than a man or the man is greater than you are. That's how it was viewed at times. As a matter of fact, if you learn from the pagan world of that day, according to the Living Word, we find this idea. Many pagans made their wives a thing of lower status, often just a plaything, a virtual slave. So all you were, ladies, was an object. You were his possession. That's all that you were. Now, how about as you look at this from God's lens? As you look at verse 7, notice what the Spirit directed Peter to say. He says, since she is a woman, grant her honor as an equal heir of the grace of life. So what is God's view? As we view this relationship through God's lens, what is His view according to this passage of Scripture? You are a fellow heir. And as a husband, we are to grant you just as an equal heir as anybody else, as we are. An heir of the grace of life. Now, under the old covenant, we know under the law that males received circumcision. Ladies, you didn't. The men did. That's how we became children of God. Now, under the new covenant, which came into effect by the blood of Jesus, there isn't a difference between male and female. That's all part of the mystery of the gospel that God had planned from the beginning. We find that in Ephesians, throughout the Ephesians letter, starting in chapter 3 in that area. I want you to go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Peter says, again, you grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of Christ. She is an equal. And that's the same idea that Paul, I think, is bringing out in the Galatian letter in chapter 3, verse 26. Paul says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. How do we become a son of God, a child of God? Well, under the new covenant, now it's by faith in Christ Jesus. He says, verse 27, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. So, when you were baptized into Jesus, you came to Him by faith, you clothed yourself. Some translations say put on. It's a great image there. We have Him on. We are clothed with Christ. Notice verse 28. There is neither, now that you're clothed with Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus, And if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's offspring and you're heirs according to promise. He says, listen, there's not a distinction. Ladies, it's not just the promise of Abraham is not just for men. It's for you as well. And again, that was a problem in their, in that time and in that culture. We know what the Jews, how the Jews viewed it as that they were the chosen people of God and that the promise was made for them. If you were to be a child of God, you had to be circumcised, right? On the eighth day. Part of the promise that God, but God had brought a promise through Jesus that by faith we would all be one. I want you to view this now through the lens of Christ, though. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 5. So there's a view of the husband and wife. There's the view from God. We're one. Ladies, you are one. You're part of the promise. But listen to what Paul says. I love chapter 5 and how he compares the church and Jesus' relationship to the church with the husband's relationship to the wife. Just as the husband is the head of the wife, he says, so Christ is the head of the body being the church. Christ is the head. Christ is over the church. And he teaches that principle in chapter 5, starting in verse 22. But let's read verse 25. We'll read through verse 31. Paul writes, husbands, you love your wives just as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Notice, church, we're the bride. The church is the bride of Christ. That's a strange concept, isn't it, for us? Especially as a guy, as we're Christians, we're part of the body, but it's strange to think of ourselves as the bride, but we are. Christ being the husband, Christ being the head. Continuing on, he says, but that she should be holy and blameless, so husbands, verse 28, so husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of one body. Go to Colossians now. Colossians chapter 3. So we learn this relationship between Christ and the church as to the relationship we have as husband and wife. I think our Lord was intentional in that relationship. And we need to be intentional in our relationships. Colossians chapter 3, 18 says, wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. So we all have our part. Just because we're one in Christ Jesus doesn't mean we no longer have roles. Doesn't mean we no longer have responsibilities in our marriages and even in society and even in the church. But I think we can make the argument that great marriages are intentional. Peter said, you husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered again or cut in two. So some say that with our prayers, that when we're not in the relationship we should be, or we're not getting along as we should, that we're not praying together. Others say it's the idea or the fact that, listen, God is not hearing our prayers when we don't live with our wives in an understanding way. Whatever it be, we know how serious it is for us to listen to God's word in this relationship. I want to leave with you four intentional things as husbands that we can do in our relationship. Okay, guys, you got your pens and pencils or paper? Take notes here. 4 points, all right? Being intentional in our relationship. Number one, be intentional and notice her every day. Did you notice your wives this morning, man? I'm not going to take a poll. It's really quiet here this morning. You guys got to make some noise, all right? You're making me nervous. Be intentional and notice her every day. This is something I need to work on. What would happen, men, in our marriages if we were intentional for 5 minutes every morning to notice our wife? Some of you do that, but many of us don't. I know it's something that I have struggled with in my marriage, but only 5 minutes. Hey, let's do it for 1 minute. Be intentional and notice her for 1 minute. Acknowledge her. Acknowledge how she looks. Acknowledge what she means to you. Be creative if you have to, whatever it is. But be intentional. You know, one of my struggles is noticing the little things. Paying attention to detail. And something tells me that's why many marriages get in trouble. That's why many marriages fall apart is because, and again, this point is for the men. Next will be for the ladies. So I'm not picking on the men. This applies to the ladies too, I believe, but they're better, I think, at noticing the little things. I have a hard time of noticing the details. And it's those little details that matter most, isn't it? If I would just take a minute and notice and pay attention to the little things. You know, if you look back at growth in any area of life, I think we see that, you know, growth didn't come by the big things. It was the little day-to-day disciplines that brought us to that point. Think about that in our marriage relationship. It's the little discipline things day to day. I heard a successful man one time, very successful man, say, if you followed my life one day or throughout the week, you'd probably get bored. Because I do the same things over and over and over again. If we want to be successful in our marriages, man, we've got to acknowledge our wives and notice them. Can I get an amen? All right, we got to notice our wives. 5 minutes. Okay, number two, be intentional and talk to her. That's a tough one. You've been talking to your wives? 5 minutes a day. When you get up in the morning, do you acknowledge her? Not talking to her about your business. Talking to her about her business. What is important to her? What's on her mind? What does she need to express to you? I think we might see that our relationships get a lot better if we'll just take 5 minutes. I know in my marriage it's that way. If I will just talk to her, talk to Kelly for just a few minutes even, makes all the difference in the world. And I know sometimes you think, well, you know, this and all, I'm a quiet man. It's not natural for me, but who told us it was needed to be natural? It doesn't feel right. Well, we got to do it anyway. I don't understand a woman. Do it anyway. Talk to her. As someone said, you want to make mama happy, right? You want to make, or if mama's not happy, nobody's happy. This isn't about making mama happy. This is about honoring God. Just as Jesus loved the church and gave himself up for her, I think there's a lot of this same idea in there. Did he talk to us in his own way? He did by his actions, we know that. He's given us his written word. He's talked to us in many ways. And we need to talk with our wives. That's part of living with them, I think, in an understanding way. Number three, men, be intentional and listen to her. This is a hard one for me. I don't listen very well. But I need to listen. You see, when I hear in a conversation, if I hear Kelly say something that's, you know, a problem, what's the first thing that I do, and I probably speak for most of the men here, I just want to fix it. Of course, I can't fix myself, but boy, when she brings her problem, I can fix it with 3 points. This is all you got to do. She doesn't want me to fix her. That's not why she said what she said, even though she asked it in a question, right? Jesus wants me to listen. Just for 5 minutes, she just wants me to hear her. And it's important for me and for all of us, if we want to have great marriages, to be intentional and listen to what our wives have to say. Lastly, how about this? Be intentional and touch her. It's okay for us to touch our wives. You know, it's okay for me to hold Kelly's hand in public or to put my arm around her. And when I do, her face glows. Your wife's does too. Because that's important to her. It's not important to you as much, but it's very important to her. She wants you to acknowledge her in front of others. 5 minutes. What if we did that? Just 5 minutes. Let's see. I gave 4 points, so that's 20 minutes a day. Right? That's right. It's all you got to do, right, men? Little over an hour and a half a week, not including the weekends. And that's not bad at all. So you notice her for 5 minutes, you talk to her for 5 minutes, you listen to her for 5 minutes, and touch her for 5 minutes. And I think if we did that for a week, for a month, for a year, we might see great marriages or greater marriages. Because you see, we're being intentional. You husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered, so that God will listen to what you're saying to Him, so that God will hear you. Are you a child of God this morning by faith? Because that's what Paul said, you come to Jesus by faith. Are you part of Abraham's offspring? Are you an heir according to promise? Well, if you've come to Jesus by faith, if you've been baptized into Jesus, you've clothed yourselves with Him, you are part of Abraham's offspring and you are an heir according to promise. That's what the Spirit says. If you have not this morning come to Jesus by faith, why not do it this morning? Why not be intentional and come to Jesus? Come to the one who promises hope of eternal life, eternity with God. Be intentional. We're going to stand, we're going to sing. Would you come? If we can encourage you in any way as we sing the invitation song.